J.J. Watt, I'm not sure he's an impact guy anymore. And Clowney.
Well, he had 3 sacks today. But
oh, he had 3 sacks today?
The rest of that defense. What's that?
I didn't see the game. He had 3 sacks
today?
He had
3 sacks today.
Oh, J.J. Watt's back. I take it back.
I'm so glad I unsubscribed during football season.
That was on a Sunday. I'm going to cut him a break there. There's just too much to absorb.
He had a strong take on something that was completely
untrue.
Not sure
he's an impact guy anymore.
Like, what? I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie to our audience. I'm not gonna sit here and say, like, I watch every NFL game every Sunday. Yeah. But I'm not gonna come on here and say, you know, I don't think X or Y is an impact player. I'm at least gonna cross-reference what they did that day. If it's someone like this who's coming back from a major injury.
I've come to accept, these Bill Simmons takes that you have on here every now and then. It's actually impressive to me when he has them, because, like, that's the position he's reached in sports, where he's got this empire that's not as big as he thought it was going to be, but it's an empire nonetheless, where he's an executive and a producer. And what's Bill Simmons going to do? Sit down like in a hole and watch every single NFL game every Sunday? He's got deadlines to hold people to. He's got deals to strike. He's got NBA to get ready for.
Well, here's what I would do if I had a job like his, or a job like, let's say, Nick Wright's, or just somebody along those lines where you're covering things nationally.
Yeah.
I'm going to just watch the Red Zone if you ask me, all right, if I'm doing a national anything during football season, then on Sundays, I'm going to watch the Red Zone channel for the first 3 hours.
But that's what I'm telling you. That's not Bill Simmons' job. Bill Simmons isn't actively covering sports like Nick Wright is. Like, Bill Simmons is in charge of a media empire. He's not. His job is to not sit there and soak in every bit. And then, so his podcast, he's just kind of dishing it with his pal. And it's more of a, like, he's more of an everyman now that he's super, super rich.
All right, J.J. Watt's back.
But at the same time, I mean, I think probably biggest, most popular thing that he does is his podcast,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So put a little more effort into it.
That's just him being him, though.
But what does he do? He's not on the TV shows anymore. He's not writing at all anymore,
right.
Is he?
Because he has a bunch of other people doing those things for him. What am I not saying correctly here?
No, I see what you're saying.
I've explained to you what he does.
I understand.
He's more of a, like, it would be if Les Moonves had his own, well, the dearly departed Les Moonves. Les Moonves, who was the CEO of CBS for 87 years, was recently ousted because
some allegations of
extreme creepiness. So, but like, if Les Moonves had a podcast, it's not like he's gonna completely 100% nail it with all of his hot takes, but people are gonna listen to it just because he's Les Moonves.
Cal McNair,
bad example.
KPRC caught up with Cal McNair.
Yeah,
and we might be having some audio issues on this. So before we present this, Chris, just let me know when we can play this, because we have not heard from anybody in the, like, front office, really, on the 0-3 start so far, which I know Fred pointed out on In the Loop. Here's the most laughable concept in Houston. The idea, and I'm not saying this will happen. I'm going to tell you this right now, and you guys can think I'm crazy. That's fine. I believe the Texans can make the playoffs, even though they're 0-3. I actually believe that. I think combined with a division, I'm not quite sold on Jacksonville. I'm not quite sold on Bortles. I'm not 100% sold on Doug Marrone. I think if this team turns around, I think they can make the playoffs. I'm not predicting that, but I think it can happen.
Yeah.
Having said that, if things continue in this direction, and you are at a point in 3 months in a week, where you're going into a 3-13 or 4-12 season, and it is determined that Bill O'Brien should not be the head coach of this team moving forward, the idea that you would keep him because the Texans can't pay him $20 or $25 million to buy out of his contract is a laughable concept. And to back up that assertion, I cite to you Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, who are now in Oakland, soon to be in Las Vegas. Everybody has said the last 5 years, Mark Davis is broke, Mark Davis is broke. Mark Davis gave Jack Del Rio a 4-year extension in February of 2017, so a year and a half ago. And I think what they did was they totally ripped up Del Rio's deal. So I think when they fired Del Rio, I think he had 3 years left in his contract as opposed to the 4 O'Brien would have after this season. Then what he did, Mark Davis turned around and gave John Gruden $100 million. I'm sorry. The idea that a team in Houston, Texas, that plays football can't afford to fire a football coach is a laughable idea, especially when the Raiders are paying a coach $100 million.
Okay, there's two things there, because I agree with you in total, but is Mark Davis actually the template you're going after here? Is that the guy that you want to, like, hey, Mark Davis did it, so it should be all right for everybody
else? I'm using, though, Mark Davis, like, in isolation. Like, right. Just the ability to pay.
Like, you're saying, hey, Mark Davis might be, like, a certified moron, but he blew some money, so why not the Texans?
Yes, exactly. I'm just saying that they're financially capable.
To piggyback off of...
Oh, they're certainly capable.
Well, that's my point, though.
To piggyback off of Mike's point, I mean, I've heard rumors that Mark Davis can't even pay all of John Gruden's contract until they get to Vegas. And yet, here he is giving an $100 million contract out to John Gruden after firing Jack Del Rio. I feel like that is such a situation where you have maybe the poorest owner in the league, given their stadium situation, just everything in general, and their success over the last several years, that if they're going to do that twice,
right,
that every team should be able to do it twice. Money wouldn't be the holdup, I suppose.
All I'm saying is, it's of course they're capable of doing it. They've got the deep pockets to do it, but I'm wondering about the likelihood of it happening, where they're like the old saying we always say is, like, billionaires don't stay billionaires by squandering their money. It's always interesting, like, what they will squander their money on, but when it comes to the business side of things, a lot of times they can be downright stingy. Mark Davis did not earn his money. Bob McNair did. And Cal McNair, second generation wealth, with, as we know, has been established on the show. You can trust second and third generation wealth. It's that fourth generation where things tend to go awry, because then those kids have just been too pampered their entire life.
And I, Mike, I agree with you that money should not be a holdup for them, but at the same time, I mean, I feel like I need to see it actually happen where they would part ways with O'Brien and after this season, because I feel like so many things happened last year. And I think that that's more of a holdup. We made all of these changes. We got a coach and a general manager who are supposedly seeing eye to eye, and then we're going to pull the plug on that after a year, even if...
Yeah.
And again, we're 3 weeks in. We might... I could totally change my own tune on what I think might happen a couple weeks from now. If they're 0-6, okay. I mean, then I can really see it happening. But something tells me they're going to be back around that, like, 6-10 range, and that's a real gray area, and I feel like they're just going to say, hey, next year we're going to do it again, and let's see what happens.
The best financial investment, though, is taking care of Deshaun Watson. If Bill O'Brien shows that he's incapable of taking care of Deshaun Watson, then, yeah, the financially smart move is to get him the hell out of there and get somebody that can take care of Deshaun Watson. This whole not running him at all on any designed runs or read option, It's the height of not seeing the forest for the trees, because guess what, Bill? He's running anyway. Have you noticed? He's had to run regardless. So running him a couple times a game to keep the defense honest and to keep him a little bit off balance isn't going to be the end of the world. But you're so damned obsessed with looking like the New England Patriots that you're cutting off your nose to spite your face for the sake of your own ego. So then fire him to save Deshaun Watson.
Here is Cal McNair, courtesy of KPRC, on the 0-3 start.
In the horse racing business, in a mile race, we're not to the quarter pole yet. So we got a lot of season left. We got to play better. But it really is one game at a time, and we'll be fine. Coach Brian's going to be our coach. He'll claw us back into this thing like he does. He's a great coach. And we'll get back into it one game at a time.
Okay, fair enough. That's what he should say. That's probably what he has to say.
Alignment. They all say the same thing.
I mean, that's what he probably should say. Would you guys agree, disagree?
No, I think that was actually pretty good as far as, like, it wasn't a bland NFL owner statement. It was what he had to say, but it was actually, it had a little bit of color to it. He did a horse racing analogy, and he used the word claw instead of fight back into it. I give him actually points for imagery and points for color in using a horse racing analogy.
I'm going to take points away, though, for comparing a coach and a team to animals. Classic man in an ivory tower.
We're all just objects that you own.